They love Star Wars. They love comic books. But they really love football. It's Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lang.
Oh, yeah, final hour of the Big Fun Friday. And we kick things off with our guy on the hotline. It's 104.3 The Fan's Nate Jackson joining us, presented by the Advocates. Nate, what's going down, man?
Not a whole lot, guys. Happy Friday night. Just hanging out here in my basement. My wife's upstairs watching TV. My little baby's sleeping. We got him surrounded by noise machines so that he doesn't hear me yelling down here.
Wait a minute. You say you have your baby surrounded by noise machines, so that is a whole bunch of water sounds and waves crashing against the shore. Is that it, Nate?
No, man, white noise, man.
Oh, that sounds like static on the television. I thought that would do more to wake the child up than keep them asleep.
No, man, it simulates the action in the womb when you're underwater and it's floating all around you. So a low white noise in the background kind of keeps him asleep.
Wait,
you don't have to walk around as, like, you don't have to tiptoe around the house as much. Because, you can be a little louder. And I turned it up so I could come down here and talk to you guys.
Wait a minute, Nate, give that to me one more time. Give me that sound that the sound machine actually makes.
Okay, I'll give you two sounds. One was the womb, the simulation of the womb. That's... but now, yeah, the white noise, it's not the same thing, but it's there you go.
Okay. You never know what you're going to learn on a Big Fun Friday. It's Nate Jackson, 104.3 The Fan. And, Nate, we had the Von Miller thing had a resolution today, and there will be no charges against Von. Should we have even known about the investigation? I'm not a lawyer or whatever, but, like, I can't really remember hearing about an investigation unless there were charges. Usually there's charges, and then either it's gone through or it's dropped or whatever. Like, this, it smells like something's going to, somebody's going to get sued from this. Because, we knew about this Vaughn thing. We still don't know exactly what it was. And right. Now there's going to be no charges. What do you think of the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. We still don't know exactly what it was, and it was this whole hoopla, man. And so who is at fault here? I guess that's the big question. Like, when something like this happens, it's so quick to become a story, and everyone has to cover it because you're in the business. You have to cover it. I was, like, on the air that day when we started talking about it, so I had to talk about this thing that I didn't understand that actually could kill someone's reputation. There was a serious matter between two people. We didn't have any of the information. And so, yeah, dude, I think it's important that we go back and analyze how these things happen and then break that chain of command and stop doing that kind of stuff until we have more information. Like, yeah, there's an element of hungry media people calling police departments over and over, or calling the DA and getting relationships with people and starting to get information out of them. And once you do that, these are human beings, then the media people have this information. They're like, I'm not going to sit on it, and then it becomes a story. So I don't know, man. I don't know how you control it, with an age of social media, the internet. Players want to control their message, and then their ladies have social media so they can talk, and it's just like this web of crap that we get pulled into when we don't even have all the information.
So, Nate, let's talk about it from the player standpoint, because we know the approach from the media standpoint, but being a player and looking at Von Miller moving forward, how do you think he starts to pick up the pieces of his career, knowing as though some of these things have been said about him already?
Yeah, man. I'm hoping that Von. So last year, he was training in California, I think it was,
yeah.
And he was having all these epiphanies, and he was wanting to be a leader and wanted to be a changed man and all that stuff. And then he came back here and got hurt, and then all this stuff happened. Well, this is an opportunity for growth for him. This guy is still one of the best to ever do it, and I think if he gets in his mental space and grows from this and becomes a better man, then he's going to be awesome. It's like, what Von are you going to get? Where's he at mentally? Because we know who he is physically. So if it's true he's having a baby, that's a life-changing event. Like, you have a kid, it really puts a lot of things in perspective. Nick, I know, I didn't have kids while I played, and I don't think you did either, right? But you saw some of our friends have kids when they played. Like, they didn't have kids for a while, and then they had kids. And for a lot of them, they became better players. They became more dedicated. It puts things in perspective. You got other mouths to feed. It's not all about you, you, you. So that could be great for Vaughn, you know. But he has an image to repair, for sure. I mean, we saw the text messages. Whether those are correct or not, it's still a really bad look, and it's hard to get those out of your mind. So, and I'm sure there's going to be more rumors, more talking, you know. There'll be more to this story. This ain't the end of it. That's the funny part. So, yeah, man, it's tough to be a player.
Yeah, and it's tough to be Justin Simmons when all you want is a long-term deal and they franchise tag you again. I know George Payton in his press conference said he loved everybody and that everybody was the greatest thing ever and he wants everybody back from a 5-win team. But when he says, multiple times he says, Justin Simmons, our plan is to keep him here. Well, why does your plan need to take to mid-July, dude? Like, we all know the number. The number's 15. Get him $15 million a year and make him the highest paid safety in the league. And that's what you have to do if you want to keep him long-term. So George Payton says he wants Justin Simmons. Do you believe him?
Well, yeah, I believe him. I think of all the guys he talked about in that meeting, I think Justin Simmons is the most consistent player, the guy who's played the best, and the guy who's, I don't know, the youngest probably. Well, no, Philip Lindsay is younger, but yeah, I think he believes that Justin Simmons is a vital piece to the defense. I just think he's got a lot to learn also about this roster. I mean, he's trying to figure out a lot of stuff on the fly and trying to keep all his options open, right? And like he's learning, like not only is he learning these players for the first time, everyone in the building, he's got to get to know these people and trust their judgment. And he's got to get to know them to trust their judgment on different people and character and stuff. So I think he's just kind of playing it close to the vest, and hopefully they lock this dude up. I don't see why they wouldn't.
So now, Nate, with the fact that you being a former tight end, I want you to take us into that tight end room. And when we look at, you know, that room as a whole, there are only two guys that jump out to me. That's Noah Fant and Albert Okwuegbunam. Now, Albert O, he didn't really get a chance to play last year, a lot of injuries, but the first time we got a chance to see him when the Broncos scrimmaged down at the stadium, and he didn't have a great day catching the ball. As we move forward, do you think that the Broncos should go out and look for a younger tight end or veteran tight end that understands Pat Shurmur's system?
You know, I think the tight end room is pretty good, man. I think that Troy Fumagalli and Jake Butt can be one of those guys can be a good third tight end. To those two guys, Noah Fan and Albert Okwuegbunam, I think they physically have the talent and, you know, they have the kind of pass receiving skills that coaches love to use. What those guys need to learn to do is block, to be complete tight ends and to, you know, not tip off what they're doing and be able to be good in all three phases of the game, not just run blocking, not just running routes, but also pass protection as well. Tight end is a really difficult position to learn because you have all those different elements. You know, as a receiver, I played receiver before I moved to tight end, and you're out there, you're running routes or you're blocking, but the blocking game is pretty simple. It doesn't take a lot mentally to understand it. But when you go down there next to the lineman, you have some complex stuff you have to figure out. All the calls, they do a lot of disguising. The blitz they come really fast in the NFL. So these tight ends, the young ones especially, and oftentimes the young ones who are past receiving prospects, the awesome athletes that you see, those guys take a lot of work on the nitty-gritty stuff before they're complete tight ends, and that can take 3 to 4 years. But I do think Albert Okwuegbunam and Noah Fant, that's the duo right there. Those guys are physically, they have it. So it's about their tight end coach getting in it, you know, and them just improving every day and grinding. That third tight end, that third and fourth tight end is what is up in the air. And, you know, considering the injury history of those two tight ends we were just talking about, that third tight end can be a very important player sometimes because the guy goes out, he's got to come in and make a big catch. You saw Fumagalli do that this season. He had actually a couple big catches for the Broncos, you know, and that's how you, you know, carve out a niche on the team. They got to play special teams as well. But I would probably let Nick Vannett slide. You know, I don't think he was necessarily worth the money that we spent on him considering what he did. He was a good blocker, and he is a good blocker, but Jake Butt or Troy Fumagalli, I think, can be just as good a blockers.
Nate Jackson, 104.3 The Fan's Nate Jackson, joining us, presented by the Dadvocates. Nate, my last one for you, and appreciate your time as always. Have a little fun here. Right? It's a big fun Friday, right? And I want to know, and not this is not based on their game, okay? And I'm knee-deep in the draft and draft preparation, and I'm trying to watch, you know, at least 30 at every position and 5 games each of every year that they started. So obviously it's a big task that I undertake every single year. But I'm having some fun and maybe, you know, going cross-eyed watching running backs this week.
Yeah.
I want you to pick one of these three, again, not based on their game, just based on their name, okay? Do you want a running back called Chuba Hubbard? Do you want a running back named Puka Williams, or do you want a running back named Jake Funk? Because as I watched all three this week, I just couldn't help myself. I was like, these are the greatest names coming into the draft. So Jake Funk, Puka Williams, or Chuba Hubbard. Pick one just on the name.
I think I like Puka Williams, you know, although I was a big fan of the Puka Shell necklace. I think Nick used to wear those a lot.
No, I did not. Don't tell that.
I can see Nick Puka doing that, man.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, he loved that Puka Shell, and he had the open suit. He'd wear those on the team trips. Oh, man.
Do not listen to
Nate. This is great. What's the matter with the Puka Shell necklace,
no,
dude? What's the matter with that?
It's not true. I think, Nate is talking about himself.
It's not true. I bet there's pictures of you floating around with the Puka Shell necklace.
Find the photos, Nate. Find them.
All right, I'll find them. I'll find them for next week.
Okay. Well, you know what, Nate? Here's something that's interesting. On Sunday, we have the All-Star, you know, weekend. And now usually it would normally be a weekend, but now it's just kind of a day. When you look back at any of the NBA All-Stars that you have seen in past years, what was the thing that you were looking most forward to seeing?
Well, the dunk contest, you know, for sure. The dunk contest was always something that, as a kid growing up, it was must-see TV, and it was Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan squaring off, and Spud Webb, remember, won it back in the day. Like, that was what I remembered about the All-Star game. And then just seeing everybody together having fun, you know, like having fun basketball. That was always fun to watch. And then it came to Denver one year back in the day, back when I was playing for the Broncos, and it was a big party. So that week was a big party in Denver. That week, yeah, man, All-Star games are always a huge party. You get people flying in from all around the country to party in your city. Some people are there to have a good time, some that have nefarious designs, dudes. And it's a big party.
Look out for that. Nate Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, you hear him right here on The Fan. You check out his work at denverfan.com. Nate, be good, buddy, and you can turn the noisemakers down.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
There we have him, Nate Jackson.